And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I regret to say that there are people in this world who not only don't listen to Pitbull, but they might say, Pitbull isn't cool. And I'll challenge you by saying, what's not cool about a guy saying, it's Mr. Worldwide?
The playoffs are on!
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. I'm Tass Mills. Right beside me, it's the man in the middle. It's Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And the man making the magic happen, as always, it's JD.
Hello.
What's up, JD?
What's up?
Sup.
Haven't said that in years.
That's nice, huh?
Sup. Feels good.
Bringing it back.
Got my backwards hat on, so it really fits. Sup.
Yeah, I said that a little while ago, and I thought, it is cool to say that. I do miss it.
I agree. Let's bring back also, what's up? It was like full commercials in the 90s, just people saying what's up. Good times.
Still cool. Also cool. We're going to round two, baby. We will preview two round two series, Nuggets, Timberwolves, Knicks, Pacers. And Jerome will be joining us a little later because he has an announcement to make. It's a little tease.
So dramatic.
What was also dramatic, 76ers, Knicks, Game 6, Thursday night. Let's start with that. Let's start with how this Knicks team got to round two, because I thought that was art, Trey.
That was art.
It was beautiful because the Knicks got up big in that first quarter, smacking them around 22. It felt like they were the artist. But then here comes Nick Nurse with his paintbrush. He says, Buddy Hield, you haven't played in days. Let me freestyle here and put that all over this painting.
Go.
I don't know why I'm canvassing right now. But yeah.
He's cooking.
But then Jalen Brunson leading the way, then misses a free throw in the final minute. Because, listen, imperfect art is still art. Somehow, some way, he was able to get that ball to Josh Hart for a three right after.
Josh Art!
Well done. So the Knicks advance to the second round in back-to-back years for the first time since 2000. I like seeing that because that's a freaking old. That's as old
time
as the WhatsApp commercials, it feels like. What did you make of this game, Trey?
Jalen Brunson, man. Yeah. This guy is incredible. We did our players who are going to be breakout stars heading into the playoffs. People were getting on me saying, you're picking Brunson as a breakout star? The guy was an all-star already. We all know he's good. Did you know he was this good? Mm. Did you know he was Michael Jordan? Because the run that Jalen Brunson ended this series on is impressive. Four straight games of 39 or more points. The first guy to do it since Michael Jordan in 1993. Jordan was also the previous guy to do it back in 1990 as well. And Brunson was so clutch throughout this series, and especially in this game. He hit that and one with about a minute left where he got fouled from behind by, I think it was Oubre. He did miss the free throw. And then, just like Michael Jordan passing to John Paxson or Steve Kerr, he finds Josh Hart at the top of the key for that three-pointer. And I'm telling you, Josh Hart, he didn't necessarily want to shoot it, I don't think, because they ran a pick and roll. Mm. They got the ball out of Brunson's hands the first time. He gets it to Hart. But then Brunson goes and gets it back. They do the exact same thing. Get the ball out of Brunson's hands again. Dishes it to Hart. He looks at DiVincenzo on the right wing. Fakes a pass wide open from the top of the key. Knocks it down. Goes for the J.R. Smith-esque celebration. Just a fitting way to end this series, I thought. Because in the beginning of the series, the Sixers were happy to leave Josh Hart open, and he was knocking down a whole bunch of threes, massive in their first couple of wins in the series. And then they left him open late again in this series. And that was all she wrote. Great stuff from the Knicks. Fun series, man. You called it. Like, after game one, you're like, this is the best series, man. This was the best series.
Yeah, we got lucky because the Sixers proved to be a lot better than a seven seed. They were just damn good and made this entertaining every single game. Every single game was a fight. It was a scrap. It did feel like old Knicks basketball, like 90s and 2000 ball, because they were fighting every single possession. And just to see what Jalen Brunson did, even though he started this series slow, he wasn't hot at all. He shot 8 of 26 in the first game, 8 of 29 in the second game, but then turned it up 39, 47, 40, and 41 in the last four games. Everything was going through him. Everything was comfortable with the Knicks. I did like how Tibbs a couple times ran a couple off-ball screens to get Brunson off the ball, and then the double comes, so he's able to pass it to somebody, and he was able to get it to Josh Hart for that one, where Josh Hart, you know, faked that pass and was wide freaking open, and himself... In Josh Hart, he went, I called Mart, yeah, just because you did. He went through a little bit of a roller coaster himself, yeah. Because he was hot to start the series, as you said, then got super cold, then got super hot. And I thought this was the Knicks game for sure. The way it started, that four different guys hit the first baskets for them. Like, they were just so versatile. And Dante DiVincenzo as well. He started cold the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. Ice cold. Hadn't hit a first half three the last three games. And then bang, 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 hit his first three early. And then three threes in the opening quarter. 5 of 9 from three in the game when he was 3 of 17 the last three games. Three-point shooting. Impressive stuff. The big block on Embiid. I mean, that was a violent block.
Huge.
That's why this was art. I mean, there's just so many things going on in that arena where Knicks fans were still pretty prevalent. You could hear them.
Yeah, you could hear, but I will say,
yep.
I thought it was more Philly fans.
It was.
Definitely sounded louder for Philadelphia in this one, and you got to give credit to them, too. They were down by 8 with 2 minutes and 41 seconds left. They battled back. A lot of big plays by Kelly Oubre. Tyrese Maxey finally got on track, but man, DiVincenzo was huge in this game. Hadn't had a great series. Finally shot the ball well, and then, like you're saying, his defense was great. The block on Embiid, but also I thought he was giving Maxey some problems, especially in the first half. Maxey did get untracked in the fourth quarter, but DiVincenzo had a huge game playing where all those Villanova guys are obviously pretty comfortable. You know, you got Jalen Brunson talking trash to Kenny Smith about winning the title back in 2016 over North Carolina because he's able to look up in the rafters and see the banners that he hung there. This was really great. You saw the stat going around all over last night. The Knicks won this series by 1 point.
Right.
650 to 649. It felt like that. Great that it came down to the final few seconds here. And look, the Knicks learn. They said, we're not giving Tyrese Maxey a runway to pull up for three. Every time he caught the ball in the backcourt when Philadelphia was down 3, fouling him right away, putting two guys just in his way to the point where they had to do the little inbound play for Buddy Hield. He was clearly worried that they were going to foul him right away, so he just chucks it up as fast as he could. Shot didn't really have a chance, but I guess Buddy could have made it because he was hot last night.
Yeah, he was scorching hot. 17 in the first half. Again, didn't play the last two games, but Nick Nurse called him out. Apparently, Tibbs said post-game that they wanted to foul Tyrese Maxey when he was in the backcourt in Game 5. When he hit that shot, they did want to foul him. That was the plan, but nobody heard it. Obviously, things went right for Tibbs and everybody in this game because they out-rebounded the Sixers. All four wins for the Knicks in this series, they played hard. New York Knicks ball. They out-rebounded the Sixers every time they won. And some credit to Joel Embiid because I was a little worried for the Sixers because he went to the locker room 4 minutes left in the first quarter. I thought, okay, this may be over right here, right now. We weren't getting a great Tyrese Maxey game, but Embiid came back early in the second quarter, a big block of OG Anunoby, and this team was down double digits when he was scrapping. He was fighting. 39-13, a steal and a block, and when you zoom out, the guy played 41 minutes a game in this series, 33 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a block and a half. A good series for Embiid. The offseason is extremely interesting.
Oh, yeah.
What the heck is going to happen with those 76ers? Because I know in years past you said, eventually, Embiid's going to be on the Miami Heat. I think he still has faith with the 76ers. He sounds like it anyway.
Yeah, he's got to. I mean, you see the way Maxey performed. They're a great 1-2 punch because Maxey is a good player when Embiid is off the court, but when they're together, he just plays off him perfectly. We know the Sixers have a ton of cap space, and they got to get a star with that cap space. Obviously, Paul George has been in the mix and one of the big rumors for them, but they need an upgrade there because Tobias Harris was a literal zero in this game. Paul Reed a literal zero in this game. Those guys are probably not going to be Philadelphia 76ers going forward. And you could just see the double-edged sword of Embiid. I thought it was super clear in this game with Maxey struggling in the first half. Embiid had to do everything. He was doing everything. Nick Nurse tried to steal him a little rest at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but he didn't get enough because in the last 6 minutes, Embiid went 1-for-3 from the field. The one make he got, they gave him the make because it was a three-point game, and he just walked down OG and finished over the top of him, no problem. Hit a couple of free throws, but the Knicks were targeting Embiid in pick and roll because he wasn't moving very well. Dante DiVincenzo just had the blow-by right by him for a lefty layup. OG Anunoby dunked on his head. You know, I guess Embiid didn't even jump for that one, but I thought this was a good series for Embiid, despite the fact that he had some poor fourth quarters, including this one. I would say, like, they were trying to get him the ball in the last couple of possessions, and he was just getting it back to Maxey every single time. But losing this game six, the way he played, the way he was able to battle through injuries and Bell's palsy, like, this is a little bit of a feather in his cap. I think this is one of his better playoff series. And losing in game six, much better than losing in game five. You don't want to go home in a 9-turnover game. But if you lose at home in a closely contested game when you're putting up 39 points, you can live with that, especially considering he missed such a huge chunk of the season and was just struggling to get through the playoffs anyways.
Yes, you made it clear they need some support besides Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. And it is going to be interesting. As you said, Tobias Harris had 0 points. He is finally done with that monstrous contract everybody's been talking about for years. 5 years, 180. It's officially done. But there's other two guys in the starting lineup, and Kyle Lowry and Kelly Oubre, who are on minimum contracts, that performed. Oubre was awesome in this one. The OG block of him and then Oubre blocking him right back in the first quarter was awesome. Oubre was playing really well against Jalen Brunson. I know the numbers are huge, but a guy we never talk about his defense ever in Kelly Oubre. He played extremely hard. So it's just interesting how they're going to make that up, because they go into the offseason and only the Detroit Pistons are set to have more cap space than them. They've got a lot of room. They're obviously going to have to pay Tyrese Maxey, but you can go sign other free agents. Like you said, if Paul George opts out of his Clippers contract, that guy that they're just playing, OG Anunoby, is a free agent. I don't know how you can peel him away from the Knicks. That's unlikely. Not very likely. Pascal Siakam, we'll talk about the Pacers and the Knicks, but he is a free agent. I don't know how that happens. They got to do something. But yeah, it is likely those two are together, because he did say earlier this year about Maxey, he's the face of the franchise. He's one of the 10 best players in the world this year, as The Athletic wrote about it right after. You know, 10 players. Sure. Is he one of the best? I don't know. But he also talks about continuity all the time.
Yep.
They need that desperately. Any other random notes from this baby? Or, I mean, we could talk about forever for this game.
Yeah, we could. But one little note I had is that Grant Hill must have taken French at some point, because Nick Batum had a tip dunk and Grant Hill goes, a little si vous plaît. They run back the replay of it. Je m'appelle Batum. That was awesome. I was like, maybe not a lot of French, but a little bit of French to be to have those chambered, just in case Batum did everything.
Maybe Canadian Tamia has helped him out in some way. Tamia's on her tour right now, as I saw. That was hilarious, though. Ian Eagle, the great Ian Eagle on the play-by-play, heard Grant Hill say, I love Scott Foster, but it's okay to critique. Grant Hill said, it's okay to critique him. And Ian Eagle said, well, the closed captioning said, Grant Hill, I love Scott Foster. Great stuff from Eagle and Grant Hill. Really good. Really good matchup, obviously.
What a series. That was great. That was like one of the best Eastern Conference first round series we've had since probably like Bulls Celtics 09.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Yeah.
I don't necessarily remember every first round series from the past 15 years, but we haven't had a ton of close ones.
No, there's a reason for that. And it's because also the Sixers were not a real 7 seed. Yep. They're just so much better than that. That being said, it was a doozy. It was a good one. Moving on to a Bucks Pacers. That wasn't as good as the Knicks Sixers, let's be honest.
No, it wasn't. But if you're a Pacers fan, it was. It sounded like an exciting arena.
Yeah, it was, as they ended the series there in Indiana 4-2, taking care of business at home. your takeaways from this one?
My takeaways were that Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell really won this game for the Pacers. They came in, they were pushing the pace. I thought TJ McConnell was always in the lane. Like, they could not stop him from penetrating. A lot of it was Dame Lillard. He was playing through an Achilles injury. Not the greatest defender, probably a little slower playing through that as well, and TJ took advantage of it. I think Toppin and TJ McConnell averaged 20 points per game added together. 21 yesterday for Obi Toppin. He hit three threes as well, was running the court in transition, got a bunch of dunks, then 20 points, nine assists for TJ McConnell.
Oh, man.
He had that take in the middle of the lane where, like, Bobby Portis almost wraps him up. He rips it away from him, hits the fadeaway, and then just screams. That was incredible to see him out tough a guy like Bobby Portis. Great stuff from the Pacers to play their game, because I thought in games 4 and 5, it was more of a Bucks style game. Much, much slower. The post-ups were there. But when McConnell and Toppin checked in at the end of the first quarter into the second, they were so fast. They were running as much as they possibly could that the Bucks were completely out of their game. They abandoned the post-ups. They were trying to catch up from the three-point line, and they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, Damian Lillard did look back, or sorry, look good coming back from the injury. But you made a good point about him being able to defend on speed. Because, yes, the Bucks were leading in that first quarter until TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin, of all people, come off the bench and boom. And I do find it interesting. Lillard was asked about the offseason, and he said it's going to be a better offseason than last year because last year, quote, he goes, last year I couldn't do certain things because I couldn't get hurt because I knew I was going to be traded. Find that very interesting.
Usually I'm doing stuff in the offseason where I'm guaranteed to get hurt.
Yeah.
Weird take.
Yeah.
But it was a weird season for the Bucks. And certainly, like, you know, they thought they were going to be having Jrue Holiday going into this season. So they built their team around Jrue Holiday. Last second trade for Dame Lillard. And that's a big time change in player type. Basically flipping offense for defense. And they built, like, an offensive team around Jrue, thinking we're going to be able to play defense with Jrue around here. But then it turned out they just had an absolutely flammable backcourt.
Yes, with Malik Beasley beside him. So that's got to be a big change going into the offseason. But TJ McConnell lighting up that backcourt was phenomenal.
Yeah.
A career high in playoff points, 20 points in this one. He tied his playoff high with 9 assists, at 4 steals. I mean, what was that 3 at the end of the quarter? You don't see TJ McConnell shoot 3s. He just lined it up, okay, I'm wide open, bang, hits a 3. And then the first possession of the fourth quarter, bang, hits another one. He almost pulled like an Alvarado-type steal.
Yeah.
After scoring, he got one in the backcourt. Phenomenal stuff, just pushing, just pushing, just pushing. He was, you know, not impressed by those games that you just said. By game 5, he just didn't feel like they were playing like themselves. And Obi Toppin, a career playoff high for that guy. And he said, TJ actually helped me today, told me to be aggressive, told me to be myself.
Hey.
That helps. So the 41 points off the bench from those two guys, they destroyed the Bucks bench. The Bucks bench literally did not do much.
I mean, really all. 5 points. I mean, they got some, you know, a few baskets here and there in garbage time. But Malik Beasley played 22 minutes. He went 1 for 5, didn't hit a 3. Pat Connaughton played 16 minutes. He scored 3 points, hit 1 3. They just didn't look like they were competitive at all against the Pacers bench.
Yeah, they needed something from Beasley. Just because you look up and down. Yes, it's nice to see Danilo Gallinari out there, but he's just not going to be able to crush it in the playoffs. This is a New York Knick. I'm trying to think of... Brunson is the best New York Knick since those days. I think he's better than Carmelo already. Danilo couldn't do it. Yeah, now it's official because Carmelo won 1 playoff series with the Knicks. Now Jalen Brunson has been able to win 2.
There you go. Now it's official.
It's official, even though it was official before the offseason, or the postseason, I should say. Any other notes from this one? Because, you know, what was cool is just how many Pacers played well. In this game. That was like the regular season Pacers. Because
it was.
Tyrese Haliburton didn't have to be incredible at all. He had 17 in this one. He had 12, 18, 24, and 17 in the wins just because of the support that he got from guys like his backup point guard, who I didn't even know if he was going to be the backup point guard after the trade deadline because I thought they were going with Nembhard. But TJ McConnell was awesome. And Obi Toppin, former Knick, going to play the Knicks.
His brother plays for the Knicks.
That's exciting stuff. Any other notes from this one?
Yeah, we got to do a little bit of an instigator draft update here. Bobby Portis picked up another technical foul.
Yes.
That's another point for you. You're up to 4, all from Bobby Portis.
All from Bobby.
That's pretty impressive. And then, JD, we got to run this Patrick Beverley thing here. A little nonsense from Patrick Beverley at the end of the game. I don't know what's going on. He's obviously getting into the mix with the Pacers fan, and he throws the ball at a guy who he misses and then throws it again. So Beverley didn't get any texts or anything for this because, you know, the game was over. He's sitting on the bench down 20 with 2.5 minutes left. But clearly there's going to be some sort of discipline from the NBA.
Yeah, something.
It'll at least be a fine, I have to imagine. But I could also see him being suspended to start next season. A game like Steph Curry got suspended once for throwing his mouth guard in frustration, right? And like it hit a fan. They're like, sorry, man, you can't throw things and hit fans. Even a mouth guard that anybody would be excited to get from Steph Curry's very own mouth. But I assume that something's going to happen with Beverley eventually. But, you know, the Bucks are bounced from the playoffs, so it doesn't matter this year. But I think we'll still give Skeets the points whenever the punishment comes down.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Very, very lenient of you to give him the points.
We just got to wait and see. We got to wait and see what happens.
He literally fired the ball at the fan as hard as he could.
He throws it hard.
Yeah, and the fan is... got his hands up. He's ready for it. So I don't know if he instigated anything, but Beverley clearly shouldn't have done that.
No.
Jay Crowder even got into Patrick Beverley's face, basically saying something like, what's up? What are you doing to throw a ball at a fan like that? Yeah, Beverley may be suspended next season, but it's going to be on another team. I think Beverley is done with the Milwaukee Bucks. That was a good, quick run, but they got to get way more athletic.
Yes, they do. All right, so actually I lied to you. Steph Curry is only fined for his mouth guard, though he may have been ejected from the game. He was ejected from a game for throwing his mouth guard. Nonetheless, something's going to happen with Beverley, and I feel like there should be some sort of points rewarded here. We'll see what they come down with. But you're totally right. The Bucks got to get a lot more athletic, and I wonder if that means moving off of Brook Lopez. Like, he's been around with the Bucks for such a long time. He's part of... originally the core four, which now includes Dame Lillard instead of Jrue Holiday, but they brought him back last season, even though the Houston Rockets were chasing after him, gave him a nice deal, but you just saw how old they looked, I thought, in this series. Like, when the Pacers looked their best, it just felt like the Bucks couldn't keep up at all. So I don't know. Maybe Giannis becomes more of a full-time five and they figure out more of shooting around him. I don't know, but this Bucks team, I think, will look pretty different coming into next season.
Yeah, their oldies and Chris Middleton and Brook Lopez, they looked fine in this game. Chris Middleton has been really good all series, so you kind of have that positive going into next season if they can change things up a little bit. But you're right about Brook. They do have him for another year. That contract they signed him was a nice two-year juicy deal for him. They have Middleton for another couple of years to go along with Giannis. Yeah, they have to change things around them just to make it more sense, period. Yeah. And Giannis, what a tease. I heard that he had such a good workout Thursday before the game and thinking that he might come back, but he's got to be healthy. I guess he wanted to not be half of himself in a game six here and kind of want to get used to a series and probably come into game one if they were to advance. So it's unfortunate. He'll be healthy for Greece's Olympics pre-qualifying tournament. They need him. They have a great tournament. I'm already looking forward to July when he's got to beat Luka. He's got to beat Kat to try and get Greece into the Olympics.
That's big time.
Rick Carlisle, also big time. First series win for him. I was surprised by this since the Mavericks won a championship. That was the last time he won.
Wow.
As a coach. Yeah.
Wow. That is surprising.
It is surprising.
My last note on this one, the Pacers had their own heckler for this game.
In game five,
there was the Bucks guy who was yelling, very hilarious. The Pacers guy, I feel a little bit more PG rated.
Yeah.
Comparatively, maybe PG-13 for the Bucks heckler, but two of my favorites were Gallinari, get a haircut.
Oh gosh.
That was hilarious. And Bobby Portis, your eyes are slightly too big for your head.
I heard that he kept saying it because I guess Bobby was going to the line.
Yeah, he was shooting some free throws.
Yeah, so he just literally kept saying, Bobby, your eyes are too slightly big or slightly big. So it's funny because he kept saying slightly, but also, come on, man.
That's becoming the premier seat, sitting right behind the broadcast. People are catching on that you can easily be heard.
So those are behind the announcers, basically.
I think so, yeah. At least the Bucks guy was, so I assume the Pacers was the same.
Yeah, at midcourt.
Mm-hmm.
Smart move, but also annoying.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, moving on. Let's preview some round two series because we've got a great one in Nuggets and Timberwolves.
Oh, baby.
2-3 matchup, a 56 or 57 win team versus a 56 win team, respectively. The Nuggets had 57, the Wolves had 56. We're getting started on Saturday for us recording here. That's tomorrow. That's the only game going on Saturday, so we can just pay attention to these iconic teams. I'm calling them iconic because I think they're just so good this season. And what a first round for the Timberwolves to get here with the sweep. The Nuggets took care of business with the Lakers, but they had to do it in five. I'm looking forward to this series. What are you watching for in this series? One thing to watch, Trey.
One of the first things I'm going to be interested in is Jamal Murray, period. He's coming off a calf injury. You know, I think he was questionable heading into game five against the Lakers when he went out and had 32 points and 7 assists. Looked incredible. Hit another game winner. But I think the matchup is a lot harder for Jamal Murray playing against the Timberwolves. Had a favorable matchup against the Lakers, but now it's going to be Mike Conley, I think, gets a lot of time on Jamal Murray. At least he did in the regular season, but they have so many guys they could throw at him with different skill sets. Obviously, Jaden McDaniels can bring the length and the quickness to bother Jamal Murray. Anthony Edwards, I'm sure, will probably get a little bit of time on Jamal Murray. He's a stronger guy than Murray is. Nickeil Alexander-Walker also has length and activity to harass Jamal Murray. So that, to me, just means is, how's he going to be able to operate in this series? We know that the Jokic-Murray two-man game gets good shots about against anybody. Murray didn't have the greatest playoff series. He had some amazing moments, I thought, against the Lakers, but his shooting percentages were down for Jamal Murray. So I think that's a big-time matchup. If he's able to produce the way that we've seen throughout his playoff career, the Nuggets should be feeling pretty happy. But it's going to be tough for him because the Timberwolves have a lot of options on him.
Yes. Jamal Murray didn't have a great series, although he finished games pretty damn well in that series. So, yeah, Jaden McDaniels being on him, they have so many options because they're such a good defense. And he did a good job against Devin Booker in the first round.
Yeah.
He made Devin Booker truly struggle. So even if it's just at the end of games, that's a good matchup for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And he wasn't a part of the playoffs last season when the Timberwolves did face the Nuggets, and the Nuggets handled the Timberwolves in five games. So that's going to be interesting. I'm interested from the other side how the Wolves decide to guard other guys. Let's start with Jokic.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Rudy versus Jokic? I don't know, because throughout this regular season, Cat was the guy guarding Jokic and Rudy was the guy on Aaron Gordon. Because they didn't want Rudy flying all the way around the three-point line guarding Jokic. They'd be much happier dealing with Aaron Gordon. And that could be it as well. I mean, it's just tough with these 2 7-footers against this Denver Nuggets team. If there's anybody that can slow down this Denver Nuggets team, I think the Timberwolves have a good shot at it. Now, no one can stop Jokic, so it doesn't really matter if you put Kat or Rudy on him. I mean, Rudy's obviously a really good defender, but Jokic is just going to torch everybody. I mean, he had 43 last season in this series against Rudy Gobert. He's got that famous line of Gobert waving off a double team to come help him against Jokic, and Jokic said, "Brother, I have 47." You know, he's just so good. The Wolves are just a monstrous team, and the Nuggets are so good. They don't need threes to win. They're one of those rare teams in the NBA, and they didn't need them against the Los Angeles Lakers. There's just so many matchups. I wonder how the Wolves guard Michael Porter, because he was really good against the Lakers. I think you could see Jaden McDaniels guarding him. You could see some Aaron Gordon guarding him. But you could see McDaniels against Aaron Gordon. But there's just many matchups here because Porter was just scorching against the Lakers. So you need somebody good. They've got a lot of good guys. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Karl-Anthony Towns, he's got to have a huge series in this one, just like he did against the Suns, just because it's such a weird position, right? Like a seven-footer who can stretch the court, can create his own shots, can get shots for other people. And like you're saying, he's going to be guarding Jokic sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like I know that the Timberwolves like to play Jokic one-on-one with Rudy sometimes. They did that last year when he had 43. That was the only game that the Nuggets lost in that series. They're like, okay, go and score. See what you can do. And he scored, but they shut everybody else down. It's a lot tougher for Jokic when Gobert is like the roamer and they don't have to worry. Maybe he's able to take away the lobs to Aaron Gordon with his height and his length and his rim protection, but that then puts Karl-Anthony Towns under the spotlight from a foul perspective because he's got to be able to play this series. We know he makes some dumb fouls, but he did a great job in the Phoenix series being able to stay on the court. For the most part, it's different against Jokic, a guy who draws a ton of fouls.
That's a good point. So is Kat your X factor, or do you have another one?
I got some more X factors. I think the Timberwolves bench is a huge X factor in particular for Minnesota. Naz Reid and Nickeil Alexander-Walker are the two best bench players in this series.
Yeah.
The Nuggets bench is really thin. Mm. You know, they basically play three guys in Reggie Jackson, who's dealing with an ankle injury, Christian Brown, and Peyton Watson. Outside of Reggie, Brown and Watson, they're not big scorers. If Karl-Anthony Towns is in foul trouble, that means we're seeing a lot more Naz Reid minutes. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, I mentioned the defensive impact he can have. Also a pretty good three-point shooter, which would be a good way for the Timberwolves to flip the script on the Nuggets. They have to win the non-Jokic minutes Minnesota does in this series because they should have an advantage with their reserves.
Yeah, the bench is pretty important. I think the X factor for me is going to be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because who else guards Anthony Edwards? Like, let's get to the Anthony Edwards story here, because he is phenomenal. I called this series iconic to start this talk. I got people in the stream team saying I hate Tass's takes because I called them iconic, but Anthony Edwards is an icon. He feels like he's developing that. He was 31-8-6 in the first series on 51% shooting. The Suns tried to double him, and he was just able to find everywhere. Everyone was so good around him. You got the Mike Conley game. You got the Jaden McDaniels game. But I got to respect Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Even though people think Anthony Edwards is just stronger than him, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope did end that series with an injury. Yeah. He has had some time off since the end of that series, so hopefully he is good. But who else do you want to try? I think the Aaron Gordon experiment, although he's strong enough, Edwards would probably be a little too fast for him. So I think I just respect his defense, and I respect him to be able to play through injury. So I do think Anthony Edwards is going to be super, super good. But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope will guard him fairly well. So I'm looking forward to that, because like you were just saying about trying to guard Jokic one-on-one that the Timberwolves did, they said, Rudy, you know, you take him, Kat, you take him. I don't think they're going to try and double somebody like Anthony Edwards from the Nuggets defensive side. They're not going to try and double Anthony Edwards because the Wolves are just so good at grabbing offensive rebounds. And once you put two guys there and you're scrambling, you're more likely to allow offensive rebounds. And that's what happened to the Suns in the first round. The Timberwolves were just grabbing rebound after rebound after rebound. 40% of their misses is what they collected. I mean, that's way too easy. So I do think it's going to be a single coverage against Anthony Edwards. So it's probably KCP, although there will be some not. As you mentioned, Nickeil Alexander-Walker is just damn good coming off the bench, and he was good against Booker. But is Anthony Edwards too strong for that guy? I mean,
I don't think Na is going to be guarding Anthony Edwards.
A little bit, but
no way. They're on the same team.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. No, not
KCP is the question.
Yeah, KCP is the question.
Yeah, he's going to get the most of the Anthony Edwards assignment. I think Christian Brown will guard him a little bit. He's pretty strong as well. Moves his feet. Peyton Watson, I assume, will get a few chances here and there. And then Aaron Gordon, like you mentioned, they're going to have to use him on Anthony Edwards a little bit just because of his strength. And KCP is dealing with an ankle injury. KCP did a really good job against Ant during the regular season, held him scoreless in the fourth quarter twice during the regular season. That will be a question mark in this series because we know the Nuggets get great shots no matter what in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves, not always. They were not one of the best fourth quarter teams during the regular season. They also played a first round playoff series where there weren't a lot of tense moments in the fourth quarter, though Anthony Edwards did dominate in fourth quarters against Phoenix, even though he was not great against them during the regular season. So you mentioned the strength. KCP is more of a slight guy. Aaron Gordon is a strong guy. When KCP is on him and it's the fourth quarter, Anthony Edwards needs to get in the post and work on the bank shots.
Yeah.
Because that's a place where he could easily make hay.
Yeah, they didn't have to play a great fourth quarter against Phoenix Suns other than the last game. The only close game in the fourth quarter was the fourth one. And you're right, Nikhil Alexander-Walker will not be guarding Anthony Edwards.
That's an advantage Nuggets if that happens.
Yeah, I had a bench player written down to guard Anthony Edwards. It was there was a Watson, there was a WA. I went with Nikhil Alexander-Walker, so maybe Watson gets some minutes there. Hopefully KCP is healthy. I mean, that is important. In this one, because he is very, very good, and that's who, if there's anybody that can slow down Anthony Edwards, it's got to be him, I think.
He's their best chance, for sure.
All right, moving on to the prediction here. Nuggets, T-Wolves, what do you got?
This, to me, feels like the Western Conference Finals. Mm. I don't know if it is. I mean, it's really only the second round, but I thought the Timberwolves probably looked the best of any team in the NBA in the first round of the playoffs. The Nuggets played incredible in second halves against the Lakers, but over the course of the series, you know, this was not the Nuggets at their absolute peak. They can get better. We know that Jokic is the best player in the NBA, but if there's a way for Anthony Edwards to be the best player in this series, that's how the Timberwolves win. It's tough to bet against Anthony Edwards at this point. The guy is ascending faster than we would have imagined, and he, you know, coming into the Phoenix series, everybody's like, uh-oh, watch out. Phoenix has really handled this guy. And he completely tore him apart, sent him packing, made him look old. That being said, the Nuggets have home court advantage. I'm taking Nuggets in seven.
Nuggets in seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the others, I bet against the Wolves in round one. And I start looking at them and I say, are these the 2011 Mavs who were bet against round after round after round? People took Portland in round one. And then they played the defending champs in round two, just like the Timberwolves are. They played the Lakers here in round three. If they get there, they would be playing OKC, just like Dallas did in 2011. They were the underdog against LeBron and Miami. This team would be the underdog against the Boston Celtics, I would think. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm wondering if they're just, yeah, if this being their first, second round together against the freaking champs is going to slow them down a little bit. I know they've got motivations. They're playing for an injured coach.
That's right.
And Chris Finch.
For Finchy.
They're playing for their old players. Mike Conley said before the playoffs started, I don't have many more years. Let's go play. And they played, like you said, they did look probably, it was definitely the most dominating win of that first round, even though there are other great teams and great players like Nikola Jokic. Like, how do you bet against this guy? He was so good against this team. He's throughout the regular season, he's just so good against everybody. With the home court, I just lean Nuggets seven games as well. It's going to be a doozy.
Yeah. Skeet sent in his pick as well. Nuggets in seven. I think that is going to be a pretty common pick in this series.
Everybody playing it safe.
Everybody playing it safe. And these two teams have been so well matched. We had Bruce Brown talking up the Timberwolves after last year's playoffs. We had, you know, the seeding coming down to the last week of the season. The Nuggets beat the Timberwolves to have this game seven at home, literally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it just feels like a tight, tight series.
Moving on to another round two, which hopefully will be a tight series as well. Knicks, Pacers get going a few days from now. On Monday, a 2 seed versus a 6 seed, but they're only 3 wins apart throughout the regular season. A 50-win team versus a 47-win team. So what's one thing to watch from this series, Trey?
Whoever controls the pace controls the series. The Pacers We know they love to fly up and down the court. They finished the season second in pace behind the Washington Wizards. What? And the Knicks, of course, were 30th in pace. So to me, that means the Pacers, you know, they're going to try and run on makes and misses. That's a given. They also got to force a bunch of turnovers, and they got to find a way to keep the New York Knicks off the offensive glass, because the Knicks pound the glass during the regular season. They make even more of an effort, I feel like, come postseason. Because, you know, Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson are going to be going crazy for the offensive boards. They're more physical players than Miles Turner is. And then Josh Hart comes in, just flies in, gets 17 to 20 rebounds as a guard. Pretty incredible stuff. They also like to play that slow down ISO style of ball with Jalen Brunson getting his booty into guys. So I think it's a big question. How are the Pacers going to combat the Knicks' physicality? Because I don't feel like the Pacers handled it all that well against the Bucks. When the Bucks looked their best, they were playing slow. They were beating up the glass. They were posting up. These are all things that the Knicks like to do as well, and that the Knicks are better at, and the Knicks are healthier going into this series. So that's a big question mark for me. If we're looking at a Knicks series where the games are really, really slow, they're going to win this one pretty easily, I think.
Interesting. Now, the Knicks do have some injuries in that Bogdanovich is out. So in the series against Philly, they went seven deep. They just went seven guys and two guys off the bench. So the Pacers love to run, obviously, coming off the bench. So I wonder if the Knicks can handle that. I assume they can because they do have 3 days off. I mentioned that this starts on Monday as we were recording here on Friday. So three days at home in New York. I think the Knicks will handle that well. I do think the pace is everything, though, in this series. You're totally right. Halliburton said it about the games against Milwaukee. The games we won, we dictated the pace. That is exactly what happened. And the Knicks are so good at offensive rebounding, so that slows down the pace a little bit. And the Pacers weren't all that great at defensive rebounding in the regular season. They were 26th. But I don't make anything out of the season series between these two teams. It really doesn't matter. I know people say, well, they scored 140 and 125 in two games against the Knicks, but there was no OG Anunoby in either of those games, in any game they played. They're starting Taj Gibson at times.
Whoa.
Yeah, remember that? That was a different Knicks world where
That was this season.
That's crazy. But now with Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson, who was able to get back healthy at the end of the series, those are two guys that can deal with Miles Turner and will freaking rebound every single time. But yeah, the Pacers were on fire in those games. Like, they were shooting, it's 47% from three. I just don't see that happening against this New York Knicks team that seems to have everything together. But let's get to an X factor for you, Trey. Either team, wherever you want to go.
Andrew Nembhard, to me, is a big-time X-factor in this series because I think he's going to be getting the majority of the Jalen Brunson assignment. He's a feisty defender. He's strong. He's quick enough because Brunson ain't going to be beating you with quickness. It's just a matter of staying down on pump fakes, not getting put in jail by Jalen Brunson time and time again. And we know the Knicks like to run Jalen Brunson into the ground. They're going to go pick and roll three out of every four possessions, it feels like, with Brunson handling the ball. So that's the defensive end. Nembhard has to make it tough for Brunson. And, you know, in the Philly series, it was length that was bothering Jalen Brunson early on before he started scoring 40 every single night. Maybe that means Aaron Nesmith will get a little bit of the job as well, but I think Nembhard at least starts there. On the other side, Jalen Brunson probably is trying to hide on Andrew Nembhard. Nembhard had a really nice series in the first round, 13 points per game, shot 60% from the field, 45% from three. They need his defense, and they need him to do something offensively as well to punish Brunson for hanging out on him on defensively.
Yeah, Nembhard was really good. He blocked Damian Lillard in game six there, just recovering seriously well. And those guys, and Nembhard, Nesmith, who had a good ending to that series, they're going to need to be good because Halliburton is going to be guarded by everybody. They're going to do a decent job. And Halliburton isn't the same guy that he was at the beginning of the season, dropping 30 and able to do what he did every single game. Again, in the wins against the Bucks, 12, 18, 24, and 17, he didn't need to be good. So Pascal Siakam is going to be a big factor against OG Anunoby, former teammates, I'm sure, going to be guarding each other. That's huge. I think Miles Turner will be pretty big in this series as well. He's my X factor just because, you know, we name all the guys that really helped out Halliburton and Siakam, Nesmith, Nembhard. They're going to be guarded extremely well. There's going to be a DiVincenzo out there guarding Josh Hart, scrapping around. Miles Turner is such a good three-point shooter. He's got to let it rip. You know, he was awesome in the first five games before having a really quiet game against the Bucks. 22 points and 47% from three. Those shots are going to be there against Isaiah Hartenstein, I think. Yeah. Joel Embiid had those shots against Isaiah Hartenstein, so that's important stuff. He's got to be really good, just because I don't think the Pacers' depth is going to be as much of a factor against the Knicks as it was against the Bucks when they were just running against the oldies, against all the old guys.
Yeah, well, Turner's got to stay out of foul trouble.
Right.
You don't want to see Isaiah Jackson out there in this series.
Yeah, the Isaiah Jackson looking good against the Milwaukee Bucks. All right, let's get a prediction. Knicks, Pacers.
Oh, I'm back. Spoiling your pick here. Oh, man, this is exciting. Love the history in this series. I mean, OG versus Siakam, that's pretty crazy that these guys were both traded at midseason. Suddenly they're going to be guarding each other, and I'm with you. Like, that's a big-time matchup. When the game slows down, Siakam has to be big-time for the Pacers. Then, of course, you throw it back to the 90s. Reggie doing the choke sign to Spike Lee back in 94. 8 points, 9 seconds in 1995. Larry Johnson's four-point play. Roy Hibbert blocking Carmelo Anthony at the rim to go to the next round of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of great moments between these two teams. Hopefully we get some more classics as well. But I think back to that first round series against the Bucks and how the Pacers had a pretty tough time putting away Milwaukee, even though there was no Giannis Antetokounmpo out there. Dame Lillard missed some time and was not totally himself in game six. I thought Milwaukee was too easily able to control the pace against the Pacers, and I think the Knicks are even better at that. I'm going Knicks in five.
Yeah, and I do think, that the lights will be brighter in New York than they were in Milwaukee, and the Pacers weren't incredible on the road. Mm-hmm. The oldies were doing a good job. They're 1-2 in Milwaukee, and I do think, yeah, the veterans of the Knicks and how they play will overcome that. I can't go five, even though the Pacers did well at home. They obviously dominated there. But the Knicks just aren't going to be as old and slow as the Bucks were in those games. I'm going to do six. I'm going to do the New York Knicks in six games. Yes, I gave it away before as I was as I was predicting.
I think it's a classic pick. Skeets is a Knicks in six guy as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can't wait to see that. Can't wait to see a lot of things.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruit and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm not looking forward to this, though. I got to be completely honest. Our man Jerome is joining us. I want to talk to Jerome, of course. Hi, Jerome. How are you? But I know we're gonna get to eventually, which is it's a little painful. Anyways, hi, Jerome.
Hi. How's it going, everyone?
How are you?
I'm doing okay today. Yeah, I'm. We're gonna get to it. I don't know. How do we do it? This? Yeah.
Should we break the ice here by showing this video we got racked up? We finally got a great sequel. People are saying it's the Godfather 2, Back to the Future 2. Maybe the sequel is better. Jerome going absolutely wild as Creamy Garlic Man once again. Last time I feel like you were backstage playing it cool. This time you are out in the open.
In the game, though, you know, at least 1 hour ago, and he's still here. I hope some people get the reference to the TikTok of this, of the guy. He's still at the party. The party ended an hour ago, and he's still here. And, I'm just doing the little Uzi Vert dance over there.
Pizza up.
You look good.
Yes. This is what we came on for.
Wanted to announce this.
We made another video.
Jerome's taking a new job. He's going full-time as Creamy Garlic Sauce Man.
Pizza mascot? Maybe you're joining the Maple Leafs as as a new job?
I like that it just keeps on rolling. Like, we can come out of it.
I don't want to see that anymore.
I can't get enough of it.
I mean, you look like a point guard. The change of speed there that you had, that's a nice move.
When I filmed the video, I wasn't sure if I went hard enough, and then I realized it was way too hard, actually, is what happened there. But thankfully, you know, even in my older age, the body didn't feel the consequences the next day, so we're good. We're still alive. The announcement.
Let's rip it off. Let's rip off the Band-Aid, unfortunately.
Let's just do it. This is my last day at The Athletic, and by extension, of course, my lovely friends here at No Dunks. I am, I think, Trey, you said a pre-show, we had some comments, I think someone might have called it, but I can't say too much about it yet, but I will be joining our good friends, Will, Lou, and Alex Wong, at their future venture, their future project that they are working on. And that's as much as I can say right now. I'm sure a lot of our No Dunks fans are already following those guys through the Raptors show and just Raptors fandom in general. And so I think the announcements and the official words and things like that will come out soon enough. I think anyone who's listened to their show, it's not Stephen LeBron Radio. We're not just all getting together to work on banter pods for the rest of our lives. But we're working on some stuff. That's as much I can say. It's coming soon, and we'll get to it. Just follow along, and you'll get the news properly.
Yeah, hop on that Black Dragon roll. Follow Black Dragon roll to see what actually happens. But man, we're excited for you. We're obviously bummed that you're going to be leaving us, but it's been an awesome couple of seasons that we've been able to work together. You got a favorite thing that we did together these past couple of years?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I was like thinking about it. Like, I think... So one of the most random shorts I just love, and it became a bigger one for us on some of our platforms, was the eclipse. Just the Lou Cornett eclipse. There's like, there's just something, and like that's just so uniquely No Dunks to me, is that, you know, you can tune in and get all the coverage around the league, and then every now and then, any one of the guys, in this case, Tass, would just be like, I hate that move. Like, and then just listening to it and just having this spark of excitement that like reminds you why you are an NBA fan and why you love doing this. Even like for as long as any of us have been doing this from the media end, it's the thing I love about working here. It's the thing I love about you guys is, if anything, it reinvigorated like my fandom as an NBA like fan and an NBA sicko, just working with you guys. And no, it just like, it's one after another. Recently the Indiana Wes Anderson video was so fun to do because it was not planned, and then we just thought, oh, what if we just stood stoically in symmetrical ways in different spots. Oh, and Rick Smits is walking toward us. Let's get him in this too. And Scotty Barnes is shooting pregame at All-Star. Let's say we're taking a photo with him, but we're actually filming a 7-second video where we're all just standing still. And the lovely guy that he is, just big smile on his face.
Yeah, couldn't help
there's just
smile.
So many things, you know, the scripted content, the finals trips that we did were so good. Skeets, who isn't here, shout out Skeets. Love you. He sent such a nice message this morning before the show. I have a special place in my heart for his Real Housewives.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Video.
Like, just such a commitment to the bit. And, like, you know, YouTube shorts by requirement are 1 minute long. And Skeets probably has, like, 6 minutes of ad libs that we just couldn't use. You know, real wine drinking, that's full commitment there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, there's like, it's funny because it felt like we did so many things, and we did, and I'm so proud of like the things like the 100K. It's so cool to see the plaque arrive. But then it's only been like just about two seasons, and yeah, there's just like so many things in there. It's hard to like really encapsulate like my favorite thing, because my favorite thing was just like every day.
Yeah.
Well, everything you put your hands on was gold, really. I mean, like you came in what, like the beginning of last season, and just knocked it out of the park, and it was such an easy fit for us. I mean, we all, you know, you were, you fit in immediately. Like literally, it was just like, here, take this. You're doing shorts and run with it. And that, like, working with you was like not working for me. It was such a joy for me, because it was just like, this guy gets it. He totally gets the vibe of the show. Every single, usually my big thing is music, and every music cue that you picked for all the shorts were just bang on, perfect. And I was just like, this guy is amazing. So, and, you know, we hate to see you go, but I think this is a great move for you. We are ecstatic for you and so happy that you are working with Alex and Will and in Toronto. So you'll be able to build something from the ground up. And they are so lucky to get you, and they couldn't be in better hands. So congrats to them. Congrats to you. But you will always be a part of this family, I think. So, yes. You know, we will. Yeah. This is not the end of the road for us, I don't think. We will be collaborating down the road for sure.
Definitely that. Definitely that. And who knows? I mean, like, I made this announcement, but then you guys showed me that clip. Maybe I should just see how many countries in the world have a pizza and travel around one after another in a garlic dipping costume. Nah. It just feels like that might be like a fun tour too.
Creamy Garlic Man visits every pizza on earth.
Or like adjacent pizzas. Like if your city has a pizza spot that you're not really proud of having, but everyone in the city has had, I will go visit that.
Yeah. The 2 a.m., everybody knows the jingle of the phone number kind of place. Totally, yeah, every city has one, it feels like.
So. Totally, yeah.
You should definitely do that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to steal the costume.
Like, is that just your costume? Like, you just have it now?
Yeah, what?
No.
I mean, I enjoy the mystery behind it, but I am very intrigued as to how you got this gig.
I can remove the mystery of it. So, it's the Leaps tailgate. And, I mean, for those who don't know, I worked at MLSC for almost, like, 4 years before coming to The Athletic for the last three. And so I keep, like, I just have, like, a real tight bond with a lot of people still there. So when we have tailgates, Raptors, Leafs, it is fun to kind of visit in. Sometimes do some content for The Athletic there, too. But I just remember being at the game. I saw someone, one of the game crew, having it on and, like, being very coy because I'm just obsessed with mascot costumes. and then just being like, whoa, can anyone just put that on? And then what happened was, like, the third period of that game, it wasn't going well for the Leafs. And we thought, hey, what if you put this on? Would that switch the fortune of the team? And I did. And the Leafs scored immediately, which was fantastic. Wow. But then the Bruins scored right back, and then we lost that game, so we weren't sure what the power of the garlic dipping sauce was. And then, but then when I put it on the next time around where I had the wild dance, I put it on, and we scored in overtime. And then I put it on yesterday, too, and then we scored to seal the game. So we don't know. We don't know the
power of it. You're going to run it back for game seven.
Yeah. That or, you know, take a well-deserved break.
A very, very, very well-deserved break. We appreciate everything, Jerome. Is there any last words you want to say before we get to some fun, rapid fire?
I mean, like, beyond thanking you guys, like, shout out the No Dunks fans, you know, Stream Team, everyone. It's kind of crazy in such a short amount of time. Like, JD mentioned how quickly we gelled together, but how quickly I was welcomed into the community. And like, it happens in like Toronto. I'll walk around and someone will yell like "No Dunks" or anything like that. It's happened in other cities. I was like in a pub at Halifax and someone was like, are you Jerome from No Dunks? Like, I didn't think like you would be here. And like, it was so nice. I walked out of the NBA store in New York and just like, "No Dunks." And you know, that's just, it's mostly a credit to you guys and just like how far it's reaching and how much it's like touched fans that even your adjacency to it in any way has just like made you cool with a bunch of people. And yeah, so shout out to the fans. Like, they've been so awesome. I think a lot of our fans are still Raptors fans too. So,
true.
You know, I feel like you'll see still a lot of me along with Alex and Will and maybe Pizza Pizza.
Well, we loved having you. And since we still have you, we're going to make you answer some rapid fire questions.
Sounds fantastic.
You're not done yet, buddy.
Still got work to do.
That's right. Earlier this week, the Raptors' Bruce Brown blasted an IG story that simply read, "I'm going to be honest. I miss getting Tim Hortons every morning alongside a crying face emoji." Me too. Me too, Bruce. What do you guys order at Tim Hortons?
What a personal question.
It's very fun. It's been a long time
since
I've been here at Tim Hortons. I gotta be a mascot too. I think I should start being a Tim Hortons mascot.
Mm. Be a Timbit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A Timbiebe. It would be fun. I get an iced cap. Because it's fun to say iced cap,
wow.
An iced cappuccino. It's so sweetie. That's my drink. And my food, listen, I change it up for sure. But I was introduced to this a while back. A friend of mine would get a croissant from Tim Hortons.
Oh, wow.
We'd get it cut in half and we'd get it toasted. And we'd get some sort of cream cheese. It could be a garlic cream cheese.
Oh, so wow.
It's a nice snack. Wow. And the croissant is...
deviating from the bagel.
Yeah, it's like going bagel mode on a croissant. That. Yeah.
It
is. Do anything up there.
Yeah. It's fun. It was a good time. So.
Iced cap and a cream cheese croissant.
Mm, wow.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
Kind of does, yeah.
JD, what you got?
I am very basic. I will get a sesame bagel, toasted, butter, and cheddar cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Sour cream glazed donut, the best donut in the world.
Yes. They had that donut before the U.S. had it everywhere.
Oh, yeah. 100%. But I got to cut that sweetness with the dark roast coffee. Now, the sizes. Let's get into the sizes.
Oh, boy.
I'm going medium, which is the old large. Shout out to Mo Verney, who has an epic rant about the sizes of the Tim Hortons coffee when they changed. So I'm going medium. Which is pretty big, and half a cream. That's it.
Half a cream.
Just a smidge. You got to say half a cream, otherwise, Tim Hortons is it's pretty much perfect, but they put in way too much cream. If you just say, you know, you order a double double, like whoa.
Yeah, it's milky when it's a double double.
Oh, whew, too much, too creamy for me.
Band's warming up. Jerome, what do you order at Tim Hortons?
I have to borrow a couple answers from the group, but like ice cap for sure, especially when the weather gets better. And I love that sour cream glazed donut. Yeah. But to add to the mix, for any road trip, a mixed box of Timbits, I feel is like a classic car snack. So like, especially for the group, something for everyone to share. So yeah, roadie Timbits.
I thought an ice cap in Canada was called a toque.
But
you're listening, Grant Hill. Knicks fans invaded Wells Fargo Center for a couple of playoff games this week, much to the chagrin of Joel Embiid and the Sixers ownership, who ended up buying 2,000 tickets for Philly locals to attend last night's Game 6. Guys, when is the time you tried to stop something embarrassing from happening, Tess?
Well, I'm going back to Canada for this as well. I was with Danielle, my lovely wife, at an Indian restaurant that we love to eat at. And when she was ordering her beer, she said, "I would like a not Indian beer." And I had to cut her off and say, "What do you mean a not Indian beer? You almost sound like you're insulting this place by asking for a not Indian." She's a very creative person. Sometimes the words that come out of her mouth are just, you know, a dyslexic sort of bounce back each other. So I had to cut her off and say something like, you know, she wants an IPA. Although he said, all we have is the Kingfisher, which is an Indian beer, and it's a good, solid, regular beer. She just wanted a regular beer.
Just a regular.
She just didn't want something coming out of the beer fridge that was seasoned or something random. But
right.
I stopped her well.
Nicely done.
Yep.
How about you, JD?
Well, I asked this to Rachel, and she said the same thing. Like, every time I talk, you try to, you know, just like try to damage control as soon as she talks. But that's not it. That's not my answer. I'm going back to Canada as well. I would get super embarrassed if I got like hungry and my stomach started growling, even though like nobody could hear it really. But I was writing an exam one time at Ryerson, and starving. I was starving. It was a 3-hour exam. Wow. And I didn't want my, like, I had one little gurgle and I was like, oh, this is like so embarrassing. So I took a little corner of a piece of paper and I ate it to stop.
Amazing. Wow.
Did that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your stomach is like, ooh, satiated.
Something. It's something to grab onto. I don't know. That's the weirdest thing I've ever done, I think. It's up there. Pretty That's weird. Up there.
It is embarrassing, though, if somebody else hears your stomach because they're like, is that you?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In a silent, like, hall, you know?
In an auditorium type situation with all that echo and reverb.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. I'm not proud of it, but I ate paper too.
You should be proud of it.
Paper. Jarrell, when's the time you tried to stop something embarrassing from happening?
I still don't know the power of it yet, but recently I've been putting on a pizza garlic dipping sauce costume to prevent the Leafs from embarrassing themselves in the first round. They're on to game 7 this Saturday, so we'll see if it's helped at all.
Well, if you don't dress up as the garlic man and they lose, it's 100% on you, no offense.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I've really damned myself at this point. I'll be damned, says Bradley Beal.
Says Jerome Chang. Timberwolves coach Chris Finch ruptured his patella tendon after taking a nasty hit on the sidelines during Minnesota's Game 4 win against the Suns. Guys, when have you suffered an unlikely injury, Tess?
I have told this story 1 to 6 billion times. I've told the story about me breaking my leg, but I saw the Who's the Boss theme song recently, and it is, remember when Tony Danza circles third base to go home? Okay. That's exactly what happened to me. I circle third base and I hit some sort of divot, some sort of hole in the dirt, and my leg snapped. The old upper leg snap. That doesn't happen very often. Anyway, but I saw Tony do it, and I thought, well, I was running way faster than Tony Danza. I was running way slower than Tony Danza. That's for sure. Anyway, so it was great to see Tony Danza just sprinting around the third.
So did it trigger you? Like, were you like, oh, no. Man.
Thankfully not. No, it doesn't.
You're like, Tony, slow down.
Slow down, man.
Because I guess when you think about the Who's the Boss intro and the theme song, it's always the same, right? I guess Tony Danza's sprinting around the third, but yeah.
They probably didn't change it up back then.
They might do it.
They must change it like later seasons, maybe.
Yeah.
That's why I don't really remember it
right. That
all that often. I think they cut that part out of him running into home plate. It was a recent play in baseball where a guy was sort of blocked by the catcher, and so everybody was pulling up Tony Danza being sort of blocked.
Mona? Is Mona?
Mona is the catcher.
Sounds like that would be Mona as the catcher.
Mona is the catcher, yeah, good call, yeah, great call.
I was wondering why you would have possibly seen just the Who's the Boss theme recently, but that's a great reason.
Yeah,
totally. Where can you watch it now? It's like not really on syndicate in any kind of like streaming or...
Who's the Boss? Like, where do you watch it? Great question.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to see DiCaprio on Who's the Boss because he was great.
Yeah. Wait, wasn't that good. Growing Pains? Yeah.
Shit. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember Who's the Boss.
Totally. You're totally
the
right.
The name of the co-stars.
Yeah. I mean, I loved
Mona.
Loved Alan Thicke. That's a Growing Pains. I love Growing Pains more, so I think I combine both at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
The Seavers. Wow.
Yeah. Mike Seaver. Kirk Cameron.
Yeah. Kirk Cameron. Yeah, there you go. JD.
Yeah, I've entered the realm of old man injuries. This week,
Interesting.
I was choking on my AG1. Went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, no.
I was just hacking, and then just complete back spasm of my upper back. I was, like, taken out for the week.
No.
Yep.
That's crazy.
So you've produced
every
shirt.
You hurt your back from coughing, from drinking?
From AG1.
That's a tough one. Drink, too.
Trying to be healthy. And, it had nothing to do with the AG1. It was early in the morning. Mm. But embarrassing. Like, I was almost
I'm
doubled
sure the
over.
Athletic Greens helps the healing process.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's promo code no dunks.
That's right. That's right.
Maybe still active. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Jerome, one of you got injured.
This one, yeah, it's always embarrassing. A lot of my friends know this story. But one of my birthdays, my friends surprised me at my place, like at my parents' place. And it was fantastic, but I've never had a surprise party before. And I was so shocked, and I guess maybe for the sake of being dramatic, I decided I would run out of the house to get away from it. But in my running, I tripped on my way out and, like, sprained my ankle so badly that I didn't notice it until the end of the night because, you know, you go back into the party with shame and you're limping in and no one really knows that you just did what you did. And you're spending the whole night, like, having a great time. But at the end of the night, my ankle was like a tennis ball. Like, it was so big. I was out of commission for weeks at least. It was an awful experience. But, you know, great surprise. They got me.
How old were you?
I was in my 20s. Okay. It was not like...
So you're trying to play it cool. You're like, yeah, my ankle's not really sprained or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I don't even know that I told anyone. And I didn't even know myself. Like, it was one of those things where I think maybe it was my first, like, really bad ankle sprain. So I didn't think, like, oh, ice this immediately. And, you know, you have the confidence of a young person. And then you take off your sock at the end of the night and you're wondering, why is this sock so tight? And you see this gigantic ankle blown up. And it was disgusting.
Ouch. Yeah. Great answers. Great stuff.
Answers. Thanks, Jerome, for coming on and telling everybody your future. Best of luck. You don't need luck because you will. And Lou is just, you're just gonna be, and Alex will be awesome together, man.
I'm excited.
You'll be phenomenal together. But honestly, best of luck and thank you for 2 years.
Yeah, not that good of luck from me.
No, it's fair.
Offense, you're the competition now, and now we must
crush
you.
Yeah, at this point.
You finished answering these questions, you're officially our enemy.
Yeah, I hope you choke on nut dust, honestly.
And may you choke on nut dust as well.
All right, JK. We will be back on Monday. Skeets will also be back as we start talking about round 2 in the NBA. But for now... Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember to follow at Black Dragon Roll on Twitter and Instagram to see what Jerome is up to next.
That's what he'll be up to.
Maybe it's dancing. It might be dancing. You know that's going to be happening.
If you're watching.
Get it.
It's worth it.
Get it, garlic. What is this, Cream City?
Embrace the basketball, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.